Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Full Service Radio. Hello, welcome to Transformer Radio on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Victoria Reese, the founder and director of Transformer, located at 1404 P Street Northwest in the District of Columbia. And today we are talking about Transceiver Radio, current exhibition and project at Transformer, with the guest curator Joshua Gamma and special guests Kimon Freeman and Amanda Huron. For those of you that are new to Transformer Radio and Transformer, we are a nonprofit visual arts organization located at 14th and P Northwest in the District of Columbia. I'm one of Transformer's co-founders and have been its director for the last 17 years. We're celebrating our 17th anniversary this June. And currently on view at Transformer, we're presenting Transceiver Radio, which, as I mentioned, was conceived of by Joshua Gamma. So we're going to start with Joshua and hear a little bit about how he came up with the concept for Transceiver Radio and how it is operating out of Transformer.
Hello. Yeah, I mean, I guess I could just kind of talk a little bit about the initial concepts. So my background is art and design primarily, but I'm also a musician, and I've radio has always been really important to me. And I tell people, so I grew up, my dad was in the Coast Guard, and then later I was in the Army. So I've moved around a lot. So when people ask me where I'm from, it's hard for me to even say. And a story I like to tell is, when I was 10 years old, we moved from Monterey, California to Morgan City, Louisiana, which was like moving to Mars. It was a totally different world down there. And I think one of the things that really grounded me actually was listening to the radio. We were close enough to New Orleans where we would catch like WWOZ, and I would hear like jazz and funk and the, you know, the Meters and Alan Toussaint and all this like really cool music that I never had heard anywhere else. And I think it grounded me in this way where it's like, oh, this is what this place is about, and that's cool, and that's something I can latch on to as like a 10-year-old that's just like awkward and, you know, not knowing what to do with himself at school, and you know, and then I went to college at the University of Texas in Austin, which of course Austin is a historically amazing music city, and I got into college radio there and community radio there, so just seeing the way that radio stations. Like the model of the community radio station was always really fascinating to me. And I think as I was getting more into art and specifically kind of social practice projects, like really thinking about how the radio is already doing that, especially community radio is this place that could be a platform for a lot of different communities and a lot of really diverse people could come together and, you know, speak their voices and have their voices amplified. And it's just something about hearing the human voice and hearing other people's music that I really think fosters empathy, which is really important to me. This summer, I worked on a project with the DC Public Library called the Soul Tent, talking about the Poor People's Campaign. And one of their strategies was to work with the Smithsonian Folklife and get like musicians from different parts of the country that represented the different ethnic groups that were involved in the Poor People's Campaign in 1968 and use that as a tool for people to relate to each other. So they had Appalachian string bands and, you know, gospel singers from the South and Chicano artists from, you know, LA and, you know, indigenous groups and stuff like that. And just like the recordings are just so powerful. And they, you know, they had this tent where they would all hang out and, you know, they'd spend the day protesting and then they would go and they would see Aretha Franklin perform in the Soul Tent. And like that was just a really powerful model as well. Just thinking about like, you know, that I think that's a very accessible way that art can help us understand each other better. So I think a lot of those ideas are all kind of playing into Transceiver Radio, which is also just an excuse to hang out with friends and, you know, have a radio station.
Yeah, I have to say, I have, since Transformers inception, always wanted to have a pirate radio station or community-based radio station mm-hmm. operate out of our space. For those of you who are not familiar with Transformer, we have a small storefront space at 1404 P Street, and it kind of lends itself to, it's like a jewel, like little jewel box you're looking in, and it kind of lends itself to, I mean, it feels like this setup here in full service. So I was so thrilled when you approached us with the project, and it's really impressive how you have curated Transceiver Radio, which is, you can listen to, I think within like a mile radius of Transformer, and the number on your FM dial is...
It's 87.9. You have to be really close.
But if you're driving by, you can tune in, yes. or you can just...
Yeah, I've listened to it in the car.
You can also just, you know, be on the sidewalk, and it's operating... we're programming Wednesday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to...
It's noon to 6.
Noon to 6.
Most days. I mean, we have happy hours every Thursday, which are really fun events. I would recommend people going to, because those are like casual and always good music, and there's
Wednesday
free
so
drinks.
Wednesday through yeah Wednesday yeah. through Saturday noon
it's
to
BYOB
six
though.
And
yeah,
you can also do that
yeah yes you can yeah. Just keep
I would probably never turn anyone away that brought their own beer, but
it's really what's so exciting about it is it's a really eclectic mix of programming. So you have talk radio, you have conversations happening among artists. You have DJ sets mm-hmm. You have musicians performing live in the space. And I'm curious, you know, if you could tell us a little bit about your thoughts about that mix of programming and mention some of the artists.
Absolutely.
Who are involved.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think also one of the things that was kind of coming up when I was sort of formulating this idea, you know, about 2 years ago, is I was meeting a lot of artists. I'm a grad student at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and meeting a lot of artists that are like, oh, I'm a painter, I'm a performance artist, but I'm also a DJ. And there was always like kind of like, it was always sort of like the side thing they did, and they were always kind of looking for a way to like bring those things together. So it was like, in a way, it was kind of an excuse to play with that. One of the artists in the show, Eric Antonio Benitez, like, he's an amazing DJ and an amazing visual artist, and this is the first time he's really done a project that's kind of both. But then something also really special about like that empathetic thing about radio is like what was supposed to just be a show of him kind of like playing his music and his sound collages and that kind of thing turned into he's going to bring a lot of friends on and talk about their artistic practices. So it became this thing where he's like sharing himself a lot. And it's really kind of been beautiful because, like, you know, I had this group of like 13 artists I was talking to, and all of a sudden it like has ballooned into this network of like 40 people. And it's like kind of hard to keep track of everyone. Yeah, so that's a good example. Another one is Hayden Wright. He's a Baltimore-based artist that his whole show is based on the idea of radio as public art. So it's a proposal for a radio broadcast that would be played at the MTA light rail stations in Baltimore, because they own a radio station. They applied for a low power license, and it's this weird station where they do like traffic reports and train schedules, but then they just kind of have smooth jazz filling the gaps. So it's just like, well, what if they had something really interesting in those gaps as opposed to just smooth jazz? I mean, smooth jazz is fine, but so he proposed this idea that's like, he's interviewing people on the train and talking to them, like, what's their experience like as public transit riders, and what are things that the public transit system could do better? And he's mixing that in with like Baltimore club music and like field recordings of different neighborhoods in Baltimore. And it's a really like pretty powerful statement. So I think those are good examples of mostly visual artists translating what they do to radio. But then we have a group like Leon City Sounds that they just collect rare records from South America and the Caribbean and just like play really cool, fun, danceable music. And those are on Saturday morning or Saturday early afternoon. And we could put the speakers out in the street. And like, that's always a time where like people just pop in, like, what's going on here? Like, this is really cool. Or like somebody pops in and is like, I'm from Brazil, I haven't heard the song since I was a kid. So yeah, and of course we are playing archival material from We Act Radio and Radio CPR, who, I mean, in my research, they're two radio stations that were very influential to me and really why I wanted to do this show in Washington, D.C., because there's just this history of community radio here that's really rich.
And that is a perfect segue, actually, for those who are just tuning in. This is Transformer Radio on Full Service Radio. We're broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm Victoria Reese. I'm founder and director of Transformer and your host today. And I'm going to now introduce another one of our guests, Amanda Huron, who is one of the founders of Radio CPR. And Radio CPR is a really special program that I'm honored to have a small history with. Pre-founding Transformer, I was an independent curator doing one-off art exhibitions with mostly DC artists all over Washington, and connected with Amanda and also Natalie Avery. And we would do projects under the moniker Stack It Up Productions, operating out of the La Casa Community Center, where Radio CPR was housed, with one night art shows in the front room and bands in the main room. It's been really fun through Transceiver Radio, seeing flyers for Stack It Up Productions and other Radio CPR projects all over, you know, installed all around Transformer. Really encourage people to come by and see some of this ephemeral material. Is Joshua, as you know, started mentioning, and I think for all of us sitting here and listening, especially people of a certain age, that radio, it was really influential on the kind of music and the community that you were connecting to, especially if you were seeking something outside of like the top 40 radio shows. You know, that's how I connected with punk rock and alternative music, and I know that Radio CPR has been hugely influential in the community, both in terms of music communities that you've connected to and other cultural communities. So Amanda, I'm hoping you could talk a little bit about the founding of Radio CPR and its effect, long effect.
Yeah, well, it's really fun to be on this radio show here, and I'm thinking about it. And Joshua actually had several of us over to Transceiver Radio on Saturday, five of us who were some of us who had helped found it, and then others who came in later and kind of took it to another level. And so it's been really exciting to be thinking about the importance of that station, you know. It's so we found it in 1998 and it came out of a lot of community organizing work that we'd been doing in Mount Pleasant, which is a neighborhood that I'd grown up in, and was sort of thinking about how it had changed since I had graduated high school in 1990 and left to go to college and then came back in 95, and just sort of seeing gentrification happening in the neighborhood and sort of thinking about the changes there and the racism that we saw a lot in terms of kind of interactions between between people who, you know, occupied the same space but didn't really, you know, it's easy to look at a neighborhood and say like, oh, that looks really diverse, but it's like, are people actually communicating? Are they actually like seeing each other as full humans? And I think that's what you're saying about the sort of empathetic quality of radio, that I think there's a real potential there for sharing like real stories and maybe gaining some understanding of each other. So it's, you know, we started the station, you know, for many reasons, but I was working at the Latin American Youth Center at the time, teaching radio production to kids. And so it was like an after school program. And we did this project where we were talking about safety in the neighborhood, and there'd been a lot of more middle and upper class white homeowners in Mount Pleasant who were very concerned about safety. And so I was working at the youth center thinking about, well, what does safety actually mean to different kinds of people? And so the young people I worked with, who are mostly Latinx young people and African American, but mostly Latinx, were we were talking about what safety meant to them, and so they did interviews with their peers about that, just audio interviews, and what they came back with, the recordings on the cassette tapes, were things like, well, feeling safe from safety from the police, you know, not feeling like the police are going to stop me and harass me and force me to, like, pull down my pants because they think I've got drugs, you know, this kind of harassment that was going on of young people.
That's illegal, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. But these are teenagers who, like, many of whom didn't know their rights. Safety from being evicted, you know, safety from fearing deportation. So it was also the mid-90s when Clinton had this really, you know, terrible immigration, quote-unquote, reform plan that was resulting in the deportation of lots of people. And so there's all big fears around that. So they came back with this audio recordings of their peers talking about what it would mean to feel safe in their neighborhood. And it was a very different concept of safety from what these more middle-class homeowners, mostly white homeowners, were thinking of as safety. And so there was supposed to be a police forum on safety in the Mount Pleasant Library. And so Natalie and I and some other people were like, well, we have to make sure that the people who are attending this forum and are thinking about safety are thinking about it, understanding the perspective of, like, other people who are having very different experiences of this. So some of the young people I worked with came and played the tapes for the assembled crowd and explained their concept of safety and how, what they'd learned from talking to their peers about it. And it was this very powerful experience, and some of the people in the room seemed to kind of gain a greater understanding at that point of what it would mean for a young person of color to feel safe in the neighborhood. And we thought, okay, it would be cool if this has been a powerful experience at this one library meeting, but if we could broadcast, you know, if these kids had their own radio show and could broadcast this stuff and talk about it on the air, then that would be an opportunity for more people to hear where they're coming from and to hear this perspective and to maybe make some change here in this neighborhood. So that was just one of many kind of things that was going on that was had us thinking about the potential power of community radio for reaching people and kind of changing, for having greater communication and changing kind of how people thought about things. But then, yeah, there was just, you know, we had a lot of ideas about communicating, and we had a lot of friends who played music. You know, we both had come up in the DC punk scene and were just, like, wanted to kind of bring that energy to it. And so I had grown up going to a church in Mount Pleasant that was a very progressive group of people who owned a building that they made available for community use and had since they bought it in 1974. They'd always, like, you know, they conceived of this building as a place that people should use to further their dreams. So there were lots of different uses that people and members of the church put the building to over the years. And so then when I went to them and said, you know, can we use this building to have our community radio station? And they're like, yes, that sounds great. And so Radio CPR always operated out of the La Casa building on Mount Pleasant Street. Yeah, we started off in the basement storage space. We moved upstairs, and we moved to another room upstairs. But we were always had that that place. The church never charged us rent. They never asked us to pay for utilities. We would make a donation every year, and we would help them with you know, cleanup days and stuff like that. But they were this incredible. We couldn't have done this radio station without that church, and without their, like, long-term support for our vision. So, I guess I'll, yeah.
Yeah, we'll pause there, and yeah, we're going to segue into Kimmon, yeah, Freeman, because I do want to also talk about how Radio CPR ended.
Yeah, yeah.
But absolutely. First, I want to hear Kimmon Freeman. Thank you so much for joining us today. Kimmon is the founder,
co-founder,
and one of the producers of We Act Radio, community radio in Anacostia, which I understand was you co-founded in 2011. Mm-hmm. And would love to hear your story and the background of We Act Radio and how it came to be and how it operates in the community.
Well, first and foremost, George Jackson, great political prisoner, longtime political prisoner, and a famous author said that the first line of defense is communications. And so we was created based upon the premise of an African proverb that simply said, until the lions have their own historians, the tales of the hunt will continue to glorify the hunter. And Winston Churchill is famous for saying that, you know, history is told by the victor. So if you lose, baby, you lose. And we've been losing because they have been controlling the information. Six corporations control most of what we see, hear, and read. That means if you change your station five times, you are right back to the same corporation. And we need to understand that. And it's, that's why I believe that Americans are the most educated, uninformed people on the planet today. That is not what civilization is supposed to be like. We don't talk on our porches anymore. We don't get interactional conversations anymore. Social media, to an extent, has addressed that, but then again, it goes back to those corporations that's controlling the wave of that. We've seen net neutrality been in place to reinforce that, because they're aware of the power of having people control their own story. And for those who don't not aware, net neutrality has created a toll road, if you would, for a fast lane for big media and a toll road for smaller individuals, and that is why you get what you see popping in your feed. Algorithms minimize what you post. When Facebook first started, when you posted something, all of your friends saw it. Now only select, and these things have to be addressed. And I think that what we are talking about here today is a conversation of our resilience to address that, offset that, combat that, change that. I'm thoroughly convinced that we are to break the chain, break the cycle, stop the BS generation. I think Trump has inspired us to do more. And I think that the best way, again, goes back to the saying that the first line of defense is communications. Even when they tell them the truth, they lie. And what I mean by that, and I tell some of my media students this, and I run a media arts training program every summer under the Maryberry Summer Youth Employment Program. The mayor even hires some of my interns who make more money than me. So that's another story. But if you saw a naked man running down the street, and they reported naked man running down the street, oh, call the police. That man's crazy. It's your normal response. And you will read a story saying that what happened. Now, if he got hurt in the middle of that arrest, you thought it was his fault because he's crazy and he needed to be detained. But if I told you that, you know, they robbed that guy in the alley back there and they made him strip. Now, the same man is, you know, you have empathy. Oh, my goodness. Why are they beating that poor man? You know, your whole perspective have changed by what? The omission of information or the providing information. They didn't lie. It was like they came in running the street. But because they omitted something, it changed the whole perspective. And that's what we're lacking here is perspective and context. And it goes back to who is telling the story. And that is what independent media, community media is attempting to do, is to provide that context and put things in perspective.
How does We Act Radio operate? Are you? Is it full-time? Is it... Can you hear it 24/7?
You can hear it 24/7 if our Comcast signal is up. We are working with the Office of Chief Technology Officer, Octo, to give us access to the same high-speed internet that the good government has. We're working on that so that we'll never go down. But yes, we are 24 hours. We are primarily a progressive talk radio station. We are not just simply Anacostia community radio station. We're proud of that. We honor that. We take that responsibility. But we are also aware that, you know, we must think global and act local. And that is also our mantra. And so DC is a perfect collage of local, national, international. So we produce content for terrestrial stations around the country. We're on WCPT in Chicago. We're on Free Speech TV in New York and several other cities around the country. We produce an award-winning radio documentary for NPR. We're in coordination and collaboration with a lot of other entities. But we also try to make our mark here in Washington, D.C., particularly with the Don't Mute D.C. movement that is taking place right now. It's an open rebellion against gentrification and displacement. And I want to make sure that, given that proper perspective and context, it's not a white versus black issue. It is addressing a housing crisis that's affecting all of us. is a haves and a have-not issue, because the vast majority of people in the city do not make over $108,000 as is the median income. So that means they're not representing the masses of people in this city. And the masses of people in the city are also paying more than 30% of income, which is determined to be a housing burden by the federal government. And you will realize that if you ever try to get a loan for something and you're paying more than 30% of your income in housing, that is a threshold that they look for.
How can people tune in? Is there a website?
Well,
is
we're challenging the status because we don't pop up where everyone normally see things. We're going to start doing more. But we felt that we made a conscious effort that, you know, build it and they come. And we wanted to drive content to us. You know, we weren't trying to catch fish. We were trying to teach people how to fish. And in doing that, we said, go to our website, weactradio.com. You know, and people's like, you're crazy. People not going to go to the website. You know, who are you? You know, and it wasn't until we got robbed last summer that was the last summer, summer before last. I think we summer before last now. And we were able to raise all the money we needed to replace everything in a week.
Wow. And where do you operate out of?
We're on the radical side of Marlon King Avenue in the underbelly nation's capital, on the foothills of Cedar Hill, the line of Anacostia Frederick Douglass home, you know, 1918 Marlon King Avenue. And we had support come in from Berkeley, California, Springfield, Massachusetts, to South Africa. Mm-hmm. You know, we get tens of thousands of hits.
Let's just repeat that one more time. It's We Act Radio.
We Act Radio. WeACTRadio.com.
Everybody needs to tune in.
Yeah. And you know, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to our YouTube channel, because we're not just radio. We're a full media production company. We have a TV studio that we built in there, courtesy of the Great Streets Grant. So we do acknowledge when government is working. They helped us with our renovations, and we also built a performance space behind our studio. It's called the Bundy Secret Garden. It holds about 250 people. It's an outside performance space. It's like a beer garden with a performance space. It's 420 friendly, and we're going to be working with the Kennedy Center, who is going to activate our space as Millennium Stage East, so we can host events out there, because we want to do more for the music and the art. Obviously, yeah. With Don't Mute DC, the music has now become political. And so we're very excited about what that means. And we are looking to do more to use that new musical protest method to use as community lobbying.
Kimon, do you have a program coming up at Transceiver Radio with Joshua?
Joshua can tell you more about this on the schedule. But let me just say that my 9-year-old son was very excited that I was going to be on Transformer Radio today. You know, so all the things I've done in my life that he's seen, you know, this was the big deal for him. You know,
I'm very honored. I could play a little tiny role in.
Yeah, you're making me look like a good dad. Great,
yeah. I appreciate that. Yeah. I wish we had more time. I have so many questions. And this could go on easily for me anyway for at least another hour, but we have limited time in the studio today. Again, we're at Full Service Radio here at the Line Hotel. This is Transformer Radio, and we've been talking about Transceiver Radio, which is a current exhibition and community radio station that's operating out of Transformer. It's operating out of Transformer at 1404 P Street Northwest through June 8th. The website for details on all the programming is transformerdc.org. I really encourage listeners to look at the programming. Even if you're hearing this radio program beyond the date, a lot of it is online. You can listen to the programs online. Transceiver Radio will last beyond its
And let me interject, we want to see a food truck program. Mobile model for Transceiver Radio.
I think that would be brilliant.
They should fund that.
And I really regret that we don't have more time, because the history also of Radio CPR is so important and was so influential in the Mount Pleasant community and beyond in DC for many, many years. But Amanda's going to be participating in programming with Transceiver, or may have already. So
I did.
You can find that online. And absolutely everybody listening to this should be checking out what Kimon and his team are doing with WEACT Radio. Definitely. And weactradio.com.
I have to say I'm underwritten by Social Security Works. My business partner is executive director Alex Lawson. So shout out to Social Security Works. That's defending Social Security from privatization in Republican hands.
Yes. Thank you. And my mom thanks you. Really? Thank you for that, too. Yes. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. This is just a little bit of taste of some of the programming that you can hear on community radio, whether in DC or in your own community. I encourage you to check it out. And again, check out Transceiver Radio happening at Transformer through June 9th, transformerdc.org. And thank you to Full Service Radio for hosting us today.
Do something.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter at FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook at Full Service Radio. Thanks for listening.